So, but I have an opportunity to be able to introduce a very special person in my life. I've known her for about 48 years, which is a long time. So my mom, she's going to be able to speak here today, but I'm going to give her some accolades a bit, right? She raised 5 kids, and me being one of them, that's a lot of work right there. There's no doubt about that. She has 18 grandkids and now 6 great-grandkids. And so there's been a lot of, God's been using my mom as a mother in so many different ways, and they're touching so many lives. So that's a lot of work there. But over 30 years, she's been a licensed minister too, and serving side by side with my father for over 50 years. And God has had a chance to use her around the world in certain missions trips. And currently, right now, she has a Christian counseling mission ministry called Compassion. Just Compassion Counseling Ministry. So they're pretty straightforward that way. So we have an opportunity to hear from her today. So, Mom, come on up. You guys, get it up for my mother here. Awesome.
Yes, he's the baby of the family. How about that? He's the tallest one of the sons. And I'm honored and privileged for sure that he lives only 4 houses down from me. And that is really, really special. Oh, my goodness, Marilyn, you're here? Yes. Wow, how special. Yeah, I'm meeting a lot of new people here, and it was so fun to find out one of my daughters is here, and that's Dawn Joy, and she's here with her husband, Chris, and Brendan, and she came all the way from Korea to our family. Yes, and I found out with Bob, you have daughters from Korea. So 2 daughters from Korea, so that's very, very special for sure. Look at, this is just amazing. You know, Brendan is our youngest grandson, and so he's here today as well. And of course, you already know Darren's kids, I think, right? Zach and Kira and Bryn, and now Izzy's here, and that's so fun. But each one of you, I wish I had time to hear every one of your stories for sure, because I know that every single person here, you have a very unique story. I know you have a very unique mother for sure, a very unique father. Soon we're going to be honoring our fathers as well. And then we have Children's Day coming up, right? We honor the children. It's just a wonderful thing that to give honor to one another, isn't it? The scripture says, in honor, preferring one another. That's really very, very special. Well, this morning, I have found in my life, really a long time ago, that the most important thing that I could ever do on any given day was to start my day and say, God, I want to hear your voice. And God, whatever you say to me today, I want to respond to that. And you know, when I have been doing this, it just makes my walk with God so very, very special, really so beautiful. And so as we would begin this morning, I want to invite you first to just kind of take this quiet moment and just say, God, I want to hear your voice today. God, we certainly thank you, Lord, that you love to talk to us. You're eager to talk to us. And Lord, you're always ready to give us a word, God, that we need. Sometimes you give us a word that you just want to, you're so delighted to give to us. And so, Lord, I know that you have a special word, God, for every single person here. So, God, I pray indeed now that you'll just give that special anointing, God, of your spirit upon each person so that we can hear very clearly what you want to say to us. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for your presence here. We thank you for your presence within us. And Lord, I pray indeed now that which you want to come forth, God, and for us to receive and hear, I pray that we will do that now with just great joy and anticipation. And we thank you in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, sometime back on Good Friday, actually, I was over at another church and I heard the pastors all speak about the last words of Jesus on the cross. And I was thinking about each one of those so, so much. But the one that I want to kind of share today is these beautiful words that Jesus spoke on the cross in John chapter 19, 25 through 27. We'll see those up there, and we see that you can read these here, and just, I'll let you read that because I can't quite see it all the way up there. That's a little far for me, unless I can look open up my Bible, I guess, and do it that way. But let's kind of read that. I'll let you read that quietly first, and I'm sure something will jump out at you. Just take time to read that a moment. Okay, do you have a chance? And so we see that Jesus, here he is on the cross, right? He's in the midst of the most intense physical, emotional, mental, spiritual suffering it's possible to go through. None of us have even come close to anything that he went through. And yet, in the midst of all of this intense, intense suffering, he looks, he sees his mother, and he sees his beloved disciple, John, right? And he says, "Woman, here is your son. Behold your son." He says to John, the disciple, "Behold, behold this woman," right? And it's just so outstanding to me, and probably to you too, as you think about this. When a person is in their most intense suffering, they're not usually thinking about somebody else. It can be so overwhelming that you just can get totally self-absorbed, right, in your pain. But Jesus, he notices his mother, his precious, precious mother. And of course, he notices John. And so he wants to tell John, "I've got a new mission for you. I've got a new ministry for you." And John was very, very close. He was right there at the cross. Mary was right there at the cross. And, you know, we could ask ourselves that question. Are you near the cross? How near to the cross are you this morning? Maybe you're far away from the cross. Maybe you're feeling a distance and an estrangement from God. And so these questions are really, really important. Mary, I can't even hardly imagine how she could see the suffering of her own son, how she had the God's grace to help her face that. That's a difficult, difficult thing. We in our family, we were with my husband, their dad, their grandpa, and when we saw all that he was experiencing in that hospital, I had to pray and ask God to help me go to be with him, because it was so tough to see him on that ventilator for weeks and weeks. And so Mary is seeing her son, and God is giving her grace. I mean, in John, you know, that the disciple, you know, many of the other disciples were not there. Many ran away, they fled. They were not even near the cross. And so this is a really important question for each one of us. You know, we cannot really hear those words of Jesus to us if we're not listening. if we're not near to Jesus. So that's a encouraging word. That's a challenging word. That can be an inspiring word, you know, to us this morning. Do I want to be near the cross? How near do I want to be to the cross and to Jesus and have that intimacy? Well, interesting enough, the last time we saw Mary in Scripture, you know, it was when Mary was at the wedding. Jesus was at the wedding in Cana, right? And Mary, because she's sensitive to the needs around her, she notices that the wine is running out. And so she comes to Jesus. You know, I think it's time for you to do something here. You know, can you help? Do you see this situation? And Jesus, at that moment, he said the same words, woman, you know, my time isn't quite yet. And yet it did become his time. This was his first major miracle, you know, in his public ministry. And he listened to that sensitivity of his mom. And of course, he was listening to God, right? And he performed that miracle there. And so this word of woman, you know, when I first read that, that didn't sound real personal to me. Like, oh, why didn't he just say Mary? I mean, Darren, Dawn, they call me mother. They don't address me woman, you know? You know, but as I was just doing a little bit more thinking about that, you know, I was reminded, you know, back in Genesis 2, you know, we know the story that, you know, in the beginning, of course, God is the one who created everything. We know he created Adam, he created Eve, right? And isn't it interesting? The scripture says, you know, that when God presented the woman to Adam, right? It's like, now this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, right? For out of man did she come. So that term, woman, is really a word, a designation of something, of a person so sacred, so holy, so created in the very image of God. So that takes on like a whole new meaning, doesn't it? And of course, you know, Adam being man, woman. And of course, we know the story that together they were going to multiply a godly heritage. They were meant to mirror the image of God, right? And they were going to reflect his image. And so it's like I was doing a little bit of pondering that. What does it really look like? What does it mean that we're made in his image? I mean, if we had time and just could talk and do, I'm sure we'd come up with a lot of thoughts. But interestingly enough, one of the ways we're made in the image of God is that he gave us a voice, right? We go right back to Genesis. You know, God spoke. Everything God said was powerful, was just absolutely amazing. And so one of the ways for sure that we're made in the image of God is that God created us with a voice. And really, it's through our voice, right? That's kind of like the extension of who we really are. Everything that we know about one another comes out of our voice, out of our words, right? And so I'm so reminded of that, the importance of our words, especially our last words that we say to one another, so very, very important. And so a lot of thoughts, of course, every one of these thoughts I'm sharing, we could go down all kinds of pathways to expand that. But when you think that every single day you're speaking, you're using your voice, and we have the power in everything we say to make a difference in somebody's life. There's death or life, right, in the power of our tongue. And so our words here that we share with one another, oh my goodness, the power that is in them. you know, to bless one another for sure. Just a little reminder. I mean, you young people here, you're going off to school in the mornings. How great to just say to your mom and dad, I love you. Mom and dad, you know, your kids, I love you. I love you. That those, you know, and when you come home, you know, it's like your first words, very important to each other, right? Your last words. None of us know what when our last words are going to come. And so I know I have that on my heart. I say, wow, these words, every time I have a connection with somebody, I say, wow, I just want to bless them in some way, right, to encourage them. So that's very, very important. So we know now that Mary, you know, and of course we honor mothers, we honor fathers, we honor children. Jesus honored everybody, did he not? And so we know that Mary did play a really, really important role in the life of Jesus. She gave birth to him. She carried him. I mean, what an honor that really was for her to do that. And so the next scripture verse that I want us to look at is, let's see which one comes up here. Is it? Yeah, yes, Luke 18. Yes, that's good. I can see that reference up there. That's great. So this reference here, Luke 18, 19 through 21, let's just take time, you know, to look at that and to read that. These are beautiful words. Are you finished reading? I hope a lot of thoughts are coming to your mind, but I'm telling you, I'm really challenged by these scripture verses here, because these are the scripture verses where, you know, Jesus is, he's with a lot of people. The crowds are following him, and they say to him, your mother, your brothers are here. They want to talk to you. And Jesus says these powerful words. Those who really, you know, hear the word of God and listen and follow that, he says, they, that is my mother, that is my brother. Now, I don't know how that strikes you, but I tell you, when I think about that, that Jesus would consider me like a mother, like a brother to him. I mean, Jesus is giving a whole new radical way of thinking, because he's telling us that the real family, it's much more than our biological family, right? It's much more than that. It includes every follower of Jesus. This us here, if you're following Jesus, we are the ecclesia. We're the chosen. We're the family of God. And when we think about that, each one of us here, you know, and the honor, the privilege it is of really seeing each other like family, like close family, like caring deeply for one another. I mean, this, the potential of this, to see each other, you know, I mean, I look at each one of you and it's like, oh my goodness, you know, each one of you are a miracle, right? I mean, the fact that God ordained you and wanted you to be born even before he created the heavens and the earth, I mean, that's astounding. God is the one who gave you birth. Yes, your mother did. Yes, your father did. But above and beyond all that is God's destiny for us, God's purposes for us. And I think that's an amazing thing, you know, that God would say to us, I want to invite you to join me in accomplishing the work that I have to do. And it's so many times it's easy for us to say, well, Lord, I think I want to do this. Would you bless me? Right? But really, it's just the opposite. He's the one inviting us to join him. And so that's why it's so important, I believe, and I find it very, very exciting, you know, in the mornings to say, God, what do you want to say to me? What do you need to say to me? What are you delighted to say to me? I encourage you to, you know, in your times with the Lord, I encourage you to say that to the Lord and just be quiet and just listen to him, because everything God has to say to you is going to be very good, very important. And then, of course, we get to respond back. Say, well, God, this is what I want to say to you. God, this is what I need to say to you. God, this is what I'm delighted to say to you. I think that is just very, very special. I can always remember one of my most favorite times, because I like to walk along the ocean, as my family members all know. And when I'm walking along the ocean, I'm always, God, what do you want to say to me? And it's like one of those times he said, I like you. Marlene, I like you. And that was a different feeling than God loves me, right? Because we're supposed to love everybody. But, you know, there's some people you just like to be with, right? It was like, oh, my goodness, God, I like you too. And I thought about all the things I liked about God. So it's just really very, very, very exciting, you know, that we can have that kind, you know, of a walk. And, you know, it says in Genesis, he walked and he talked with Adam and Eve. And we get to do that. We can walk, we can talk with Jesus. And that's really, really special. Well, the next scripture verse, well, there's a question up there we could think about. Am I including everybody that's a part of the family of God? You know, that's really, you know, so important. We don't want to be exclusive. Jesus is not exclusive, is he? He's very inclusive. He's always saying, come to me, right? And that can be our kind of our way of being. Come. I love you. I care about you. Just very special. So then the next scripture verse that I want us to look at is Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3 here. And those are coming up there. And there's 7 verses here, and I'm going to read them, and you can read them, and there's so many things that will jump out at you, I'm sure, as we're reading this. But we start out with, let's see, verse 17 here. Well, then right before that, you know, starting with 14, Paul is saying, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. This is what God wants to give to us, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, that's pretty much everything, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Isn't this amazing? I mean, we are that church. We are those chosen people. The church is not closed. During COVID, the church was not closed. Physically, it happened for a little while, but the church was never really closed, you know, because we are part of that body, and we get to extend love to every single person in our lives. So we might ask ourselves a question, where do I need more of the abundance of the love of Christ in my life, right? Where do I need to give maybe more of this love? That's really, really important, right? Okay, so now another scripture verse I'd like us to look at is Galatians 4:19. Galatians 4:19. Okay, I'll give you time to just read that a moment. Ready? So isn't this interesting? In this scripture passage here, Paul now, a man, he views himself as a mother, right? And he is calling the Galatians, you know, his children. And he even refers to himself in 1 Thessalonians 2:7-8, he even refers to himself like he's gentle among them as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. Paul said, he imparted his own self. He gave his own self to impart in their lives, right? And he said, I labor in birth again, helping you apply the principles of God's grace until Christ is formed in you. Isn't that interesting? Each one of us, you can see yourself, you know, I can be, even like Paul, I can be that nurturing person to every other person in the body of Christ. I can look to cherish them. I can look to help them. I can look to encourage them, right? And that really was Paul's mission. He wanted to build up and really help the body of Christ. And it's so interesting that he even uses that term, until Christ is formed in us. It's like, how is Christ being shaped in us, right? Very, very important. And then in 2 Corinthians 3:18, these are all of, every verse in Scripture has deep meaning. The more we study, the more we meditate, the more we want to apply the words that are in Scripture, the better we'll start to look a little bit more like Jesus. But notice 2 Corinthians 3:18 here, right? I'll give you time to read that. Notice this scripture says that as we, you know, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Who is changing us? It's God. God is changing us. It's not by our self-works. It's not by our effort, right? None of us can come into the body of Christ. I'm going to try hard. I'm going to try to be a good person. No, we come into the body of Christ because we receive Jesus Christ. He's the one who gets birthed in us, right? It's we call it sometimes the new birth because it's true. He puts his spirit within us, and then he starts to change us, right? From glory to glory. It's kind of like, you know, when you keep following Jesus, you keep looking, you keep listening to other people in the body of Christ, we kind of get a picture of what it means to really live out this walk with Jesus, which is really, really exciting. And so here's the question, am I being changed? Am I being transformed, right? Do we want to be transformed? And that's a really, really important question for each one of us. I don't know each one here. I wish I knew each one of you individually. I'd want to find out for sure, you know, what is your story? What are your thoughts about God? What are your thoughts about Jesus? And how really, really, because what we think about God is very, very important. What we think about Jesus will absolutely radically change our life. And if we start listening to God, we start listening to Jesus, we listen to the nudges of the Holy Spirit, that's really, really important. Because really what we think along this line, that's going to determine every choice we make. And I pray and hope that you will certainly want to choose to follow Jesus. I have followed Jesus a long time. I'm an older person, and I followed Jesus a long time, and I'm super. I've been blessed to have 5 children and 18 grandkids, and now the great-grandchildren are coming along. Another one's going to come next month. You know, I'm richly blessed, richly blessed. And each one of us, you know, I certainly, you know, want to just share with you some final words, because this could be my time to speak for the last time. To some of you, I want to share this beautiful prayer from number 6. You have it in your bulletin, or it's out on the table there, but it's from number 6, 24 through 26. God told Moses to tell Aaron, I want you to pray this blessing over the children of Israel and over your own family. Beautiful. So I love doing this. This is the prayer I pray for my family, my children and my kids, and anybody else, really. I want to pray that for you as well. So I want you to kind of think about this, take in, just receive this blessing from the Lord, okay? And so the Lord bless you. Now the Hebrew says, may Yahweh kneel before you, making himself available to you as your heavenly Father, so he can bestow on you his promises and his gifts and keep you. The Hebrew says, and guard you with a hedge of thorny protection that will prevent Satan and all your enemies from harming you. May he protect your body, your soul, your mind, your spirit, your loved ones, and all your possessions. You know, that jumps out about the mind there, because, you know, we're talking about the sacredness when God created the man, created the woman, right? And we have a lot of major confusion in our society now. A lot of confusion about who am I, just gender identity. And so every girl, every woman is here. You know, I want you to hear, because God himself would say to you, I created you this way. I created, this is holy, this is sacred. Every man who's here, every young teenager who's here, you boys who are here, God wants you to know he created you a man. And that's really important, because you're going to hear lots of voices out there. Lots of voices out there giving you all kinds of different ways of thinking, but many of them are distortions. Many of them are lies. And so we just want to encourage each one of us to remember to listen what God says to us. Really, really, really important. If you listen to, some of you are younger, oh, my grandkids, I mean, to learn to listen to God when you're younger at your age, scripture says, remember the Creator in the days of your youth. That's super important. You know, remembering is a wonderful gift from God. And really, our memory is really for eternal purposes. And so we actually have the choice of what we're going to choose to remember. We have the choice of what we're going to choose to forget. Some of us need to move forward and be willing to forgive some of the people in our lives that we have bad memories with. But, you know, God will say, you know what? They need the gift of forgiveness. You can give it to them. Set them free. Set yourself free. Right? Because that was some of the words on the cross. Jesus said, forgive them, for they don't really know what they're doing. So this is just a really important thing, this blessing of God. Then it says, the Lord make his face shine upon you. The Hebrew says, may Yahweh illuminate the wholeness of his being toward you, continually bringing to you order, so you will fulfill your God-given purpose and destiny and be gracious to you. Don't you love that word, grace? God is just so gracious. May Yahweh provide you with perfect love and fellowship, never leaving you, and give you sustenance, provision, and friendship. The Lord lift his countenance upon you. May Yahweh lift up and carry his fullness of being toward you, bringing everything he has to your aid, supporting you with his divine embrace in his entire being, and give you peace. This is shalom, right, in the Hebrew. May Yahweh set in place all you need to be whole and complete so you can walk in victory moment by moment. Every moment is sacred. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may he give you supernatural health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, protection, fullness, rest, harmony, as well as the absence of agitation and discord. Is that a powerful, beautiful blessing from God? That was written in the Old Testament, right? And you know what? Now Jesus, he has become the fulfillment of all of that. Every one of these things, this is who Jesus is. And Jesus offers us to receive him. All these different things represent the beauty, the power of Jesus. I love Jesus so much. I love him with all my heart. And I just want to keep learning to love him even more, right? And so the power, you know, the privilege that we have with our words, very, very important. I know it's very interesting to me that at my husband's celebration service, somebody wrote down a word from the Lord. They wrote that down, and then it was shared with me. And you know what those words were? It said, the mantle has fallen. Will you pick up the mantle? There's many people in your sphere of influence who need to know the love of Christ. And I immediately thought about Elijah and Elisha. Elisha prayed that prayer. He wanted that double portion of God's Spirit. And so I just pray that blessing upon you all, that you'll just, God will just give you a double portion of everything God has for you. How fun to be open to everything God has for us, right? So the Lord bless you richly. And I turn it over to my beloved son.
A bit taller than my mom, so I'm going to grab the mic here. A little taller. We're going to sing one last song here. And seriously, leave here today. Think about some of those questions that were on the board. or on the screen here, in ways that God's planted some thoughts in your head here, and really contemplate what God is doing, because he's got something special for you. So enter in this last song if everybody want to stand here, and then we're going to enter in this song. Thanks.